Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson as recorded in the second chapter of St. John. And the theme for this morning's message is a bold Lenten cleansing. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I know that many of you are hunters, and I know that many of you are farmers. So here's what I propose for you this morning. From now on, I think you should go out and buy a brand new white tuxedo. And every time you go deer hunting, or every time you go coyote hunting, or every time you go out to do chores on your farm, you wear this pure white tuxedo. And for you ladies, if you so desire, you can buy a white wedding dress to bring back those memories. And go out and help your husband or go hunting with him. And when you come back, you will realize the terribleness of our sins. For that white tuxedo will be black. It certainly won't be pure white again. And neither will that wedding dress. Think of a miner. Think of a coal miner who does the very same thing. His white tuxedo as he rides into the mine and down into the heart of the earth. And he does his labor of the day and he comes back up. And if the sun is still shining, he sees there in the light, the darkness, the blackness of his white tuxedo. Dear friends, this is what we hear today in the Word. We hear from the Old Testament lesson, God's law. And what does God's law show us? It shows us that we are sinners. That even though we may think that we are pure as the driven snow, because of the law, we are as dark and dirty as the coal mine. The law is clear, yet the law is holy and good. Dear ones, we also realize that as we hear our lesson today, that Jesus has great zeal for his Father. And he also has great zeal for it, each and every one of you. There on the Temple Mount, the Jews were all concerned about one thing. And it wasn't the sins of the nation. They were concerned about what kind of money and how much money they could put into their coffers or into their pockets. For you see, in the old days, the selling of animals and the exchange of money happened down in the city. But by the time of Jesus' life here on this earth, everything had left the city and had come upon the Temple Mount. There on the Temple Mount, in the court of the Gentiles, was stalls of animals, sheep and goats and cows. And there were the money changers exchanging their money, so that people could do their offering. Can you imagine the stench there on the Temple Mount? There is no way that they could wash away the manure. There is no way that they could cleanse the court of the Gentiles. And each time that a person came to do their sacrifice, they were confronted with this smell, this stench, there upon the Temple Mount. So Jesus comes to his Father's house. And Jesus comes with great passion for his Father. And he drives out the money changers. And he drives out those who are selling the livestock. And he proclaims very clearly that his Father's house is a house of prayer, not a marketplace. By the way, in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we don't consider our church as a marketplace either. There's no entertainment here. We don't pass the offering plate over and over and over again. The Lord tells us that we are to give with a joyful heart. This is not a marketplace. It's not a place of selling anything. As is Jesus' words today, it is a house of prayer. So Jesus becomes quite angry. And yes, here we see our Lord using righteous anger. It's okay for us Christians to become angry as long as it is righteous anger and it's zeal for the Lord's word or zeal for his house. And the Lord, in his anger, drives out the money changers and the temple trade. Yes, of course, the priest, the Pharisees, the scribes are upset with this. Jesus has now cut off their money supply. They are no longer able to rip off the people. And so therefore, as was their usual modus operandi, they confront Jesus and they ask for a sign. They offend God by asking God for a sign. So Jesus gives them a sign. But his sign is a sign that is given in the form of a riddle. And as with most riddles and most parables that our Lord spoke to these evil people, zoom right over their head. They had no idea what Jesus was discussing. As his word tells us, tear down this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. What? It took 46 years to build the temple, and you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? The foolishness of such a statement, they thought. This man is obviously out of his mind. He's a lunatic. He's going to tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Totally impossible. Yet Jesus isn't speaking of brick and mortar and stone. Jesus is speaking of his body. And that's exactly what happened not long after this. Jesus went 3 days into the belly of the earth, and on the third day he rose again. He raised the temple of his body. And so in this cleansing of the temple, we see something very valuable for us. We see a bold Lenten cleansing. And dear ones, we've seen the same thing this morning. We've seen a bold Lenten cleansing here at this font. Isla and Gage came to this font black as coal, a sinner in the sight of God. Yes, we like to think that children are innocent and that children, they are not sinners. But Scripture is very clear that we are conceived in sin, and in sin did my mother bear me. So when Isla came here and when Gage came here, they were outside of God's grace. But God now works a bold Lenten cleansing. God puts Isla and he puts Gage to death. And how does he put them to death? In the waters of holy baptism. To us, we cannot fathom this. We like to think that baptism is something that we do. It's a confession of our faith. What faith? They have no faith. How can they confess for faith if it hasn't been yet given to them? So God puts them to death, and then he raises them again to newness of life. It is sure and it is certain, without a doubt, that Isla and Gage are now children of God, because in those waters of holy baptism and in the power of the Word, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they are his. Totally his work. Completely his work, and totally by his grace. God does all of this because of his love and his great compassion for Isla and for Gage. Thanks be to Jesus. Yet, dear ones, we know that we are all sinners. Even in Isla and Gage's baptism, Mom and Dad will realize not too long from now that they are sinners. That's very, very obvious to us. Isla and Gage will do things that will reap a punishment. Anyway, I hope it will reap a punishment. For they will do things wrong, as we heard in the commandments this morning. They will break God's commandments as you break God's commandments, as I break God's commandments daily and much. So what's the solution? God continues to cleanse us. And he will continue to cleanse Isla and Gage and all of you as you hear the word and as the Holy Spirit leads you to confess your sin, to fall to your knees and cry out to God, Lord, have mercy upon me. For I know that I am a sinner. And the Lord will have mercy upon you. For his word tells us that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Although that cleansing doesn't happen here, it happens here, and it happens here. As you hear the word, and you hear the word of your Lord, that faith is strengthened in you, and you believe that your sin is forgiven. And as you receive his body and blood, it is his body and blood that works in you the forgiveness of sins, strengthens your faith into life and salvation. This is the thing that we call in theology sanctification. It's an ongoing thing. God, in his great mercy for all of you, and in his great mercy for Isla and for Gage, will continue to sanctify them in all truth. As they hear the word, they confess their sins, and they hear that their sin is forgiven. And when they are old enough, after their confirmation, they will stand here, and they will receive the Lord's body and blood. And they will hear that it's for the forgiveness of their sins and the strengthening of their faith. The Lord works a bold Lenten cleansing. So, dear ones, in those white soiled suits that you continue to wear, always realize the love of your Lord, the grace of your Lord, and the mercy of your Lord. That as you hear the word and as you receive the body and blood, it is he who is doing this great work in you. It is he who forgives your sins. And it is he who boldly cleanses you of all your sin. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all in his grace and mercy and in his forgiveness. Amen.